comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, verses 21 to 26, and that can be found in the Pew Bible, page 600. That's Isaiah chapter 40, verses 21 to 26. Do you not know? Do you not hear? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to dwell in, who brings princes to nothing and makes the rulers of the earth as emptiness. Scarcely are they planted, scarcely sown, scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth when he blows on them and they wither, and the tempest carries them off like stubble. To whom then will you compare me that I should be like him, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who created these. He who brings out their host by number, calling them all by name, by the greatness of his might, and because he is strong in power, not one is missing. Thanks be to God for this reading of his holy word.
Let's share our prayer together. Heavenly Father, we humbly bow in your presence. May your word be our rule, your spirit our teacher, and your great glory our supreme concern. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Did you see? Is such a common question. It's one we are often asked. Did you see that program on TV or that film? Did you see that exhibition in the gallery? Did you see that sunset or that sunrise? Seeing has become important for us as a way of confirming truth. Seeing is believing, we sometimes say, following the disciple who was called doubting. In some ways, seeing appears automatic. We just open our eyes and we see. There isn't a switch we need to put on. There's not a battery. We open our eyes and we see things which are before us. But in other ways, we can choose to see or choose not to see. In the final Narnia story, The Last Battle, there's a famous scene where the children and some dwarfs are thrown into a stable. When they enter the stable, Aslan, the Christ figure, is there before them. The children can see Aslan, and they see light. They see a table richly set with good food and plenty of things to drink. Dwarfs, however, don't believe in Aslan. They refuse to see him. All they see is darkness, a pile of hay and stable dirt. I wonder if too often we, like those dwarfs, choose not to see. We choose not to see the God of grace who loves us and who is at work all around us. On this day, with this table richly set before us, set with Christ our Saviour, overflowing with grace and love for us, will we choose to see Christ there? Or will we see only bread and wine? In the passage from Isaiah 40 for us this morning, this line, lift up your eyes on high and see. The challenge of this passage is for us to open our eyes, to lift up our heads, to see our God, to see his grace and his love for us. The invitation is to use our eyes for that thing for which they were created, seeing the glory of God, seeing in his fullness, his grace and his mercy. Will you see your Creator God? Will you see? Our God of grace is the creator of all things, all that we can see and all that we can't see. Do you not know? Do you not hear? Have you not been told from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? In the whole of Scripture, the Bible never presents an argument for the truth of God having created everything. Never does that. The Bible just assumes that this is a truth, a fact, and presents it in that way. Today we are expected to be able to argue this point, to somehow be able to prove or not prove that God created all things. A Nobel Prize winner in science has said that scientific inquiry into the origins of the universe has demonstrated the impossibility of the universe spontaneously appearing from nothing. It just couldn't have happened that way, is the conclusion of the scientific world. It is not irrational or unscientific to believe in the work of a creator. But that's about the most that science can tell you. The Bible tells us a whole lot more about the wonderful God who is that creator. He sits above the circle of the earth. Its inhabitants are like grasshoppers. He is the one who stretches out the heavens like a curtain. He spreads them like a tent to dwell in. He is the one who brings princes to nothing and makes the rulers of the earth as emptiness. Perhaps you make jigsaws. Haven't done jigsaws for years. Perhaps you knit or sew. Perhaps you work with wood or you fix things. Do you sit at a table sometimes, maybe a bench, or maybe over a tapestry frame? You sit above what you're creating. Those stitches or tiny bits that you're working with wood or metal, they appear as grasshoppers before you. Do you not see? This is how God, as it were, sits above his creation. Much bigger, much greater than any part of his creation. He is the one who is able to work and to shape all things. I really like that comment. It's almost a by-the-way comment. Who brings princes to nothing and makes the rulers of the earth as emptiness. The princes and rulers of the earth, they really think they're something, don't they? They've come to believe that everyone should know them and recognize them. They imagine that their little words have great effect, that their every whim has vast consequences. And compared with me and you, they might well be right in that. They might well have influence beyond our influence, but not compared to God. Not in contrast to our Creator God, the one who has made them. The same powerful God who raised them up can bring them down, can leave them empty and powerless. This is our Creator God, the one who plants and sows, who grows and sustains. Do you see it? Over the past year, I've had many conversations in which you've told me about your concerns, about the turmoil the world seems to be in just now. Everything seems to be changing very quickly. Brexit, North Korea, the USA, hurricanes, famines, droughts, financial uncertainty, and now Spain's joining in. Many young people who should with confidence be looking forward to their future are deeply troubled in confusion. One might almost say hopelessness. We are living in deeply troubled and challenging times. Don't you see it? Our Creator God is not changing. He is not in turmoil. There's no uncertainty with our God about what's going to happen next. We might not know how to fix what's wrong with the world, but we know someone who does. If only we can see it. If only we could open our eyes to him. If we don't believe in God as a creator, then we're necessarily going to be cast into a sea of confusion But if we can only get a glimpse of his purposes of grace, a glimpse of his mercy and love, if we can only see that God has built these things into the fabric of his creation, if only sometimes our eyes could see him, something of his greatness, could we not take comfort then in his love, his purposes of good for us and for all his creation? The good news of God as creator is not declared to us so that we can try to argue the creation of God from our scientific understanding. The good news of God as our creator is declared to us so that we can find comfort and joy, hope and peace, so that we can have this assurance that the God who has made all things still has them in his hands and still loves us and cares for us. If only we will see this good news. To whom then will you compare me, that I should be like him, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who created all these. He who brings out their host by number, calling them all by name, by the greatness of his might, and because he is strong in power, not one of them is missing. Lift up your eyes on high and see. Do you remember that Walt Whitman poem, I Heard the Learned Astronomer? The poet describes how he was at a lecture by a professor of astronomy who, with charts and graphs, was explaining the wonders of the universe. And the poet was left cold. He writes, until going out at night and looking up, he was lost in wonder at the sky at night. Could it be, do you think? We've talked ourselves out of being overwhelmed at God's beauty, at the wonder of God's work all around us. Could it be, do you think, we've stopped taking time to notice the wonders that God has built into his world, the glory of God in all creation? We had a hymn from Luther earlier. One of the other fathers of the Reformation, John Calvin, is perhaps best known for his logic, for his very precise and detailed system of theology, for his preaching and Bible teaching. Calvin, perhaps best known for his many words. Well, listen to this. In one place, Calvin wrote of creation as the theater of God's glory. Isn't that awesome? But I wonder sometimes if, even though we've got a ticket, even though we've got a seat laid aside for us, we're not using the ticket. We're not sitting down and watching the show. We're missing it. We're missing the display of God's glory in all creation because our eyes are closed and we're not looking. Sometimes, perhaps, it's too big for us. We talk about God having made all things, everything we can see and everything we can't see, and it seems too big for us, too much to take in. We read of all the stars at night, God calling them all out by name, and we can't imagine that. We can't count all the stars. Our Creator God is able to bring them out, to count them, to name them, to set them in their place. But it seems too much for us. Well, the Lord Jesus encouraged us to look at the sparrows, just one sparrow. It's as though he said, God loves that one sparrow. Do you not think he will love you as well? We hear the good news. God so loved the world, he sent his one-of-a-kind son, that whoever believes in him might not perish but have the life of God's kingdom. And we think of the whole world that God has made and the whole world that God has loved. And we look at it and it all seems too big. Maybe like one of those pictures, we need to turn it round and look at it the other way. How does God love the whole world? God loves the whole world by loving each person one by one, by loving each star, each flower, each blade of grass, each mountain and hill, each river and tree, each atom and subatomic particle. God doesn't love one world. God loves 100,000 million parts of his one world, and it adds up to the whole world. Don't you see it? The wonder of creation is that God loves you and God loves me. Will you see it? Will you look? Will you open your eyes? I can't open your eyes for you, but trust me, it's okay. Open them. What you will see is the smile of your Father, his eyes looking down upon you, filled with joy, because you finally opened your eyes and you're looking up at him. What you will see is the nail-scarred hands of Jesus reaching out to take hold of your hand and hold on to you, because no one is allowed to go missing. What you will see is the radiance of the risen glory of the once dead but now risen and alive forever Lord and King of all creation. What you will see is the grace of God at work for you, in you, and through all creation. The God who made the grain from which bread is baked, who made the vine from which wine is made. This God of grace, gives these gifts of creation to us as means of grace, that we might know his glory in them. Will you not see it? All that he has done is for you and your salvation. It is all for you, for your comfort and peace. All because your Creator God, who can see you and wants you to see him, loves you. Will you not see it? Let's pray together. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see you. We want to see you reaching out with your love to us. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus. To know that our sins are forgiven in him and we are made new because he lives forever. Open our eyes, Lord, that we might see your glory and your grace at work in your creation for us and through us and in us. Open our eyes, Lord, and overwhelm us with the wonder of your love. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.